very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers!
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrace Road, Boise, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Segue to our message today, and I'm in love with Jesus, and He's in love with me. Amen. It brings us to our text for the day, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And this is the concluding paragraph of chapter 10. I think very apropos for our hearing for today. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Amen. And it reads, "And now it happened as they went that he entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled and encumbered about many things, but one thing is needed, one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.'" I need about 10 minutes to unpack this text and allow you to go home and celebrate. Amen. With loved ones and friends. I want to talk about the believer's priority. The believer's priority. Again, we've made it to the last of chapter 10, and we are about to embark on chapter 11. And we'll be preaching about prayers, the Lord's will, on next Sunday. The Lord's Prayer and how to pray. Teach us to pray. And as we explore our text today, many questions fall in our mind about what really ought our priority ought to be. And so often we have so many things that comes to the number one of our list of priorities. For a husband and wife in your home, there are some things that you want to get done around the home and around the house. And you prioritize your list in the workplace. There's some things you want to do at work, and you prioritize your list of things. And with your children, there are some priorities that you have that you always are trying to see what is first. And even in the church, we have priorities, those things that we really want to try to get done, that goals we are trying to meet and to make. And yet, it seems like when you get done with one thing, it's always something else. But so often, when the rubber meets the road, Brother Harry, when we look at this text, Mary gets it. Because Mary is the one that Jesus focuses on, who says that what she's doing is really what is needful. And that's what we say in many instances when we set priorities, we're saying really what comes first. And so when I begin to look at this text, it really speaks volume about these two sisters. Now, can I tell you, when I looked at the text, that I understood the arrangement of Martha and the things that she felt needful in order to make Jesus comfortable in her home. But then when I look at it more so, it seems like Mary's situation was a little out of focus, out of balance. It looked like she ought to have, with Martha, gone out of the way. But when I read into the text a little bit, Mary was really doing what was needful. Because can I tell you, being in the presence of the Lord is more priority than anything else. Sometimes when the day is full and we jump right out of the bed, and before we get on our knees or take time for devotion, we're on with what's on our list of priorities, and we have forgotten the one who went to Calvary for us. We've forgotten the one to take time to say thank you to the one who woke us up early this morning. I need you to first to see Martha's delight at dinner and setting the table. Matter of fact, it's a welcome delight because Jesus was traveling. And to give hospitality and be a hostess for someone to come into your home is to go all out of the way to make them comfortable and make them a guest. Matter of fact, Jesus stopped in and stopped by Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. You remember that he was on his way to Jerusalem, and later he would die for our sins on a cross. But here he was making his way. He had sent his disciples, those 70, out earlier, and now he's going where they have gone to complete the journey. And so here he is. You got to remember that in chapter 9, Jesus had been rejected. He had been rejected by the Samaritans. He had been rejected by men of the world. And then he had been rejected even by the lawyer who would not acknowledge him as Savior. And it's good to know that even in his travel, that somebody opened their doors to welcome him. You know, Jesus is acquainted. He is acquainted with rejection. He's a man despised and acquainted with grief. But when somebody welcomes him into their home, and most of all into their heart, oh, that is a wonderful feeling.
Yes, sir.
Jesus here goes, and Martha, the text opens that it was Martha who opens her home and entertains Jesus for dinner or supper, and she just goes out of her way to receive Jesus. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you, it's good to go out of your way to receive him into your home and into your heart. You know, the world is so involved with all the trendy affairs of the world that we don't have time for Jesus. I know we talk about Jesus on Sunday, but he's not a part of our conversation on Monday. Help me, somebody. It seems sometimes on Sunday after the benediction, we leave Jesus in here. I wish I had a witness. We don't talk too much about Jesus until we come back next Sunday. Matter of fact, many of us don't have that regular routine prayer life with him, and so we don't talk too much about him. And so we see that it's very paramount to invite Christ into our heart and to spend some time with him. So we see Mary's, we see Martha's delight, but the point of the message is you need to see Mary's devotion. Because it's plainly here, we have two opposites. You have Martha here making preparation, welcoming Jesus in the home, and she had a sister called Mary. Now you remember, and you do know that in your reading and study, that these are friends of Jesus. And this may be their first encounter with Jesus, but not their last, because when you read John's gospel, you'll note that it was Jesus who raised Lazarus, their brother, from the dead. Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when you read a little further over, at the end of Jesus' ministry, it was Mary who anointed his feet. I wish I had a believer. Notice Mary's posture with the Savior and in his presence. She's at his feet. She's in his presence. And how many times and how much time do we spend in the Lord's presence? How many often do we sit at his feet or kneel at his feet in prayer? You know, we get there sometimes, we don't get there or stay there too long. Help me, somebody. We usually say our prayers, we get up off our knees and we go about our, but how many times have you lingered in his presence? How many times, even without saying anything, just to be alone with the Lord? Can I tell you, that is very needful. Mary took the time to devote herself because Mary loved the Lord. Oh, if you love him, you're going to spend some time with him. Matter of fact, Jesus commended the church at Ephesus in Revelation. He talked about their devotion to, but somehow he says, you have left your first love. Somehow the trends of the day and the things that we deem necessary and needful, which are not always necessary and needful, we forget about Jesus and we forget about spending time in his presence. And so he even commend them and told them in the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. Mary not only showed the posture at his feet, but you can remember before his death, it was this Mary who anointed his feet for his burial. Mary loved the Lord. And not only was she interested in his presence, but also she was interested in his word. I wish I had a witness here. Notice what the text says, that and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, brothers and sisters, can I tell you, it is paramount to hear his word. Matter of fact, when I read the word, it says that my sheep hear my voice. And we know that a lot of voices out there, but I wish I had a witness here that know how paramount and how vital it is for you to take in the word of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those who believe, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And truth shall set you free. 1 Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, he says, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Brothers and sisters, when you and I take the time at Jesus' feet in prayer and be in his presence, in his word, he'll help you to grow. The word is the seed. The word is what we need. Because we understand, Brother Josh, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. We need to be devoted. We need to devote ourselves in prayer in his presence. And we need to give diligence to the study of his word so that we may be able to discern his voice that is our greatest priority. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much time did you spend in prayer and how much time that you spend in the word of God. But really, that's really what our priority as a believer ought to be. To know his word is to know him, is to spend time to have a personal relationship with him. Not just to know about him, but that you might know him. Not only do we see Mary's devotion, but thirdly, we see Martha's distraction. Because here is a contrast between Mary's devotion and Martha's distraction. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Oh, can we see sometimes ourselves in our busyness? Now, I know this is Martha's home. She wants to set out the best china, help me somebody. She wants to fix the best table that she can fix because Jesus is coming to dinner. And she wants to give her best effort. And I don't want to take anything lightly from Martha, but it just lets us know when we look at this text that Martha's priority was in the wrong place. I wish I had a believer in the house. And I know so often we do want to take care of ourselves. We want to make sure we put on the proper clothing. Help me, somebody. We want to make sure that the house is swept and clean, and we want to do all the things to welcome the Savior. We can get so busy and so distracted with the cares of life. Is anybody right there now?
Yes, sir.
Is anybody distracted, and it seems like you just pulled away? And that you're looking at so many other things right now in your life. Not only do we see Martha's distractions, but if you look in the text, you also see Martha's demand. Matter of fact, she went to Jesus with her demand. She said, make Mary help me. She told the Lord. She told the Savior, make Mary help me. Tell Mary to leave from her comfortable spot at your feet. Tell Mary to stop being in your presence and contemplating and in being encouraged by your words. Get Mary up and make her help me. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's what distractions will do. That when You know, yes, those telemarketers will call you all day long. Help me somebody. And try to distract you and to get you away from the things that you need to be doing. But you got to know how to let the phone ring when the telemarketers call. I wish I had a witness. They will call you and keep on calling you until you pick up. And that's all they want, just an opportunity to get in. Look at Jesus' demand. Here he calls Martha, and he calls her twice. When you see throughout biblical history that when God calls somebody by name twice, it's a sense of urgency, and he's trying to get your attention. He said, Moses, Moses, in many instances, Abraham, Abraham. When he calls by name twice, that's a sense of urgency. And what Jesus was doing by calling Martha's name, he's letting Martha know that this is a sense of urgency. In other words, I need you to pay attention. Notice here the master's call and demand to Martha is to let Martha know she's got too many worries. I wish I had a witness here. She's encumbered with too many things. And so many of us today, we don't have time for Jesus because we got too much other stuff going on. He haven't really prioritized, but he diagnosed her case, didn't he? He let her know that Martha, you're too anxious. You got too many anxieties. That anxiety is controlling you. Oh, I want to speak to somebody here even right now. You got too much anxiety. You have too many cares going on in your life. You're trying to handle too much that God doesn't want you to handle. You see, you haven't realized that the God we serve is in total control. You haven't realized that the God we serve is sovereign. He's got you over your head. He's got before you. He's got all around you. And all you have to do is trust him. Many of us, even now, are wringing our wrists and maybe pulling out our hands, trying to make things work out. And all we need to do is to trust God. Matter of fact, we need to take him at his word. If you sit at his feet, you'll understand what Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 7. That we are to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. If you sit at his feet, you'll understand what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you sit at his feet, just can't do. Oh, I know it'll calm your nerves. It'll try to, but you still got to take the next one. But it's something about the inspired word of God. The word for your worry. The word for your anxiety. Look what Jesus did. He diagnosed Martha's situation. Martha, you got too many worries. You got too many cares. You are encumbered by them. You are weighed down by them. Say, wait a minute. She's preparing for Jesus. Your preparation is all right, but your priority is in the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let me leave y'all alone. You notice that it is a good demand that he makes, because look what he accentuates in the text. He says, but one thing is needed. One thing is necessary. That's really the priority. This one thing, Paul says, I do. Oh, in the text, Paul says in Philippians, this one thing I do. You know, if you could just do one thing, what would be your priority? If there's one thing, he says, narrow it down. Make sure you spend some time. I wish I had a week. Make sure you spend some time with me. Because when you get this one thing in place and put Jesus first, everything else will fall in place. If you got trouble in your home, put me first. If you got trouble in your finance, put me first. If you got trouble in your family, put me first. Tell me about it. Talk to me. I want to hear what's on your heart. Spend some time at my feet. As I conclude, it was again that same Mary who was at Jesus' feet that later on before his crucifixion. There Mary was again. She loved Jesus so much that she took expensive fragrance to anoint his feet for burying. Isn't it good to know when you start with Jesus that you go all the way with him? And if you trust him and never doubt, no matter what you're going through in your life, that he will bring you out. He will bring you through.
You have been listening to the Radio Outreach Ministry of the Mount Triumph Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Come and see us at 720 Millrace Road, Boise, Louisiana, 71409. Visit us again on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Kelly Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry.